The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
We'll kick off this evening's show, as we do on every Friday, with the week trending. I look back at some of the other stories that have been making the news this week. Good evening, first of all, to musician and historian Paddy Colvin. Paddy, how are you getting on?
How are you doing?
I'm good, yeah. It's kind of first weekend of the restrictions being slightly down. Looking forward to making a few trips over the weekend and just kind of a slight feeling of normality coming back. Being able to get a haircut this week, it's not been a bad one. How's it been for you?
It's okay. I haven't gigged in 12 months, so you know it's going to be a while till I get back to what I was doing. You know.
Yeah, I suppose don't mention the war when it comes to the fact that you guys are all stopped at the moment. But do you get hopeful maybe second half of the year that things might improve somewhat? I mean, like indoors really, still feels a long way away.
Really looking forward to the second half of 2022, Will.
Right. Okay.
That's how cynical I am at this stage.
Look, that's about as cynical as you can be. If we're not back by then, there's a lot more wrong than just the music industry at that point. We've got Brianna Parkins as well, who's a reporter with Ireland AM on Virgin Media One as well. Brianna, how are you getting on?
I'm a bit the same. I'm looking forward to the back end of 2022 because that's when the Australian border will open up again and I'll be able to get home.
Yeah, I mean, that prospect must be horrible. I mean, the rest of us are kind of concerned about getting across county boundaries at the moment. And, you know, we'll be talking a bit later in the show about going to the UK. But particularly given the, you know, the quarantine situation with Australia and so on, does it feel a long way away before you'll actually be able to visit home?
Well, I've got a grandparent who's very ill at the moment and who has appointment counts that won't go away, basically. So I'm now having to make the unpleasant decision of when can I get home, when can I actually get a flight, because the Australian government only put on repatriation flights there only a few months. They're saying that the one on the 24th of May will be the last one for a while. So if you're not on that, then it looks like you're on your own to make commercial arrangements, and it's hard to get a flight. So yeah, I mean, who can say? Look, it depends what news I'll get from my grandfather's hospital next week about whether I'll have to make that dash home. And I could be facing 2 weeks in quarantine in Australia and then another 2 weeks in Ireland if I transit through Dubai to get here back here. So, yeah, it's pretty uncertain. It's not a pleasant place to be in. But on the flip side, everyone at home is very comfortable. No one's had COVID. My grandparents haven't had to shield. So in one way, I'm still very grateful. The majority of my family are healthy and happy.
Yeah, very sorry to hear that, because realistically, there's no way of getting to Australia without making a stop off somewhere, whether that has to be Dubai or maybe making, you know, awkward plans to try and get around getting through the Middle East. There's no easy way to get home. But as you say, good news that the rest of your family have been getting on reasonably well. In terms of the stories that we're having a look at this week, it's as usual, it's a real mixed bag of things that we're going to be jumping around on. But Brianna, I'll give you first shout on this one, because this one kind of scared me slightly when I saw it in the papers on Tuesday, which is the idea that employers could potentially be able to install software onto your computer where they could watch what you're doing, the clicks that you're making per minute, and potentially look in on what you've been doing in terms of your productivity. Like, for someone like me who lives on social media and who works in short bursts, but works well in short bursts, I think this probably scares quite a few workers that this could potentially be used.
I mean, that's the thing. I would be horrified if Virgin Media looked at what I was looking at. Now, a lot of the time it is because I'm looking at weird and wonderful things for work. But this software is already being used in the US. So companies like American Express, Facebook, with big, large workforces working remotely, this is already in place. And there's some really, really entertaining TikTok videos of how people are getting around this. So one woman tied her revolving desk fan to her mouth, so it drags her mouse back and forth every couple of seconds. So the company thinks it's working, but she's actually off down the gym doing yoga. There are ways and means to get around it. Now, there's different ones. There's a really scary one is when they snapshot your screen. So, like, God help you if you're on LinkedIn or, like, looking up or Googling, like, ways to quit my job. You know, you're in trouble then. But luckily, the EU has really much more stricter rules around privacy. I don't think they'll be able to get away with it. But the Irish Congress of Trade Unions has said to the government, look, you need to legislate on this because currently there's a gap in the law. We need to get ahead of it because it looks like our workforces are going to be remote. So we need to make sure that no one can bring this in if they're even thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Paddy, this feels a bit 1984. Like, George Orwell has warned about this a long time ago, you know, the idea of Big Brother watching you. And that is effectively what this would be, that, like, if legislation was brought in to allow this to happen in the workplace, your employer has every right to watch everything you do while you're on their time.
Well, I mean, this is only just the new technological advance of this. I mean, employers were always doing this to people. And that's why I always say, you know, regardless of the difficulties of it and how it's a lot more work, being self-employed is always the best way to be. The point about being self-employed is you get to choose which 80 hours a week you work. So, I mean, the thing about this is that it's just a bit more monitoring of people and stuff like that, but it's taking away the whole joy of working from home. Do you know what I mean? And the whole, they were claiming that productivity was going to go up when people worked at home. So how are they now trying to do this and monitor people and kind of make the whole experience miserable? Is it because they want to get them back into the office? I thought we were moving to a new paradigm in life, you know, but I think, no, this is very scary, but of course, working is scary. Everything's scary at these days, Will.
Well, look, Paddy, I've been working, hybrid working for the last year, effectively, a few days in the office, a few days at home. I actually think my productivity at home is better because I've taken the commute out of the equation. So I usually get up a bit more rested, and generally I can get more done at home, you know, where I kind of don't have some of the restrictions that are there in the office. I can understand that employers, particularly as we come out of this horrible pandemic, will want to make sure they're getting the most from their workers and they're trying to get money back through the tills again. But like, ultimately, there has to be a certain amount of trust here as well, doesn't there? I mean, like, not every worker works in exactly the same way. And I'm not sure if having a screenshot every 5 minutes of what they're doing is actually going to make workers any more productive than they are right now.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I mean, I've never worked for anybody else, really. You know, I've always been self-employed. But, you know, I used to do a lot of gigs in companies, you know, that had these fantastic catering options and opportunities in their premises. And I was going, this is amazing. I mean, I'd be eating breakfast, dinner and tea here every day. I wouldn't leave the building. And then I realized, oh, that's because they don't want you to leave the building. So, you know, there are all these things built into the working day and the working life that are meant to keep you working. You know what I mean? And I certainly know, as a self-employed person, I don't stop working till I go to bed, you know, because I'm always, you know, working away and tinkering away at things. I think often working from home can be more productive.
Brianna, are you starting to feel a little bit jealous of the fact that Paddy can live by the beat of his own drum? I mean, both of us are working in media. We have a certain amount of creative freedom, but it sounds like he has a lot more freedom than you and I combined here.
Ah, I'm so jealous. Like, when this all kicked off, it was like, everyone's working from home, and I'm like, great, will I be able to do like live reports of me going to the fridge from my bedroom and back again? No, I still have to go out and talk to people and be out and about. So I haven't been able to benefit from the full working from home experience. Like right now I am wearing pants despite being on the radio. I haven't gone full, you know, given up on life.
You haven't gone feral. You haven't gone feral, Brianna. Look, guys, you can be as jealous as you want. You can be as jealous as you want. I've been on the PUP for 14 months. So just, you know, stay out of it.
You know, the flip side is, you know, I haven't had to go on the PUP yet. I have to wear pants, but that is a small price to pay for financial stability.
Look, we'll make.
I am also wearing pants.
Good. I'm glad that that's been confirmed that all three of us are. I'll make a promise to you now, Paddy. When you do get back gigging again, we'll both go to one of your gigs. Is that fair?
Yes, but only masked. I only want masked gigs from now on. It's just so much more fun.
Right. Paddy, tell me about these new phone boxes that are coming in. Because I was a little bit surprised during the week, the idea of phone boxes being installed, because we had 20, 25 years of every phone box in the country effectively being shut down and cleared away. But in Dublin city centre, there's going to be 22 new phone boxes going up, according to AIR.
Yeah, this reminds me of the closure of the railways and the tram system in Dublin. And now, you know, two Lewis's put back at high expense. According to AIR, they're putting in 22 new digital pedestal phone kiosks with touch sensitive screens and advertising space all around Dublin city. Now, you know, I grew up in Georgian Dublin. I'm pretty much obsessed with the way our streetscape looks. I hate street furniture. I hate the amount of signage and rubbish and ironmongery. And this, to me, just adds to it. And Green Party councillor Janet Horner also believes that this is, you know, this is an issue, you know, that, you know, it'll be aesthetically pleasing and all kinds of stuff like that. But is it really more clutter? Is it making our street less accessible? Is it, you know, wheelchair use, all types of things like that? I'm thinking of towns and cities like Dubrovnik that I've been in, where you walk down a street and it's completely clear. Like, there's nothing on it. There's no signage. There's temporary furniture put on by day for the cafes. It's taken away at night and then the whole street's cleaned down. We don't have that kind of streetscape, and we need to go more towards that, I believe.
Brianna, is this something that's needed? I mean, pretty much everyone has a mobile phone now. I think you'd be in the absolute minority if you couldn't get access to a phone, even if you were outside as well. Is there a necessity for this?
I mean, I was born in the 90s, so I've always had mobile phones and didn't really see the need for the pay phones except for prank calling people or if you went to my local high school in Western Sydney for calling in bomb threats around exam time, which happened a couple of times. So I didn't really understand the point of them. But then I was reading the report, I thought, you know, actually homeless people, do they have access to phones when they have to ring up the free phone at night to see if there are beds in the hostel? And actually the majority of them either do have mobile phones or they use other homeless services. So it seems like the way the need for payphones are dying out. But I do like the fact that they're creating little touch screens and maps for people to find their way around the city. Maybe the need for them, we can change what we use them for. But I still think phone booths just happen to smell like urine. And if I can never step foot in one, if I help it, that'll be great. Like, I just find them really gross places generally.
Yeah, and that concern would be there that they could be used as a, behind them particularly, as a urinal as well. Brianna, when you look at this, I mean, we've seen the pictures of them this week as well. I think they're being cleverly modelled in such a way that they look like information points that you go up to in cities like London and in Paris. It has more of that look than maybe the glass phone box that people would have been used to seeing in Ireland before they were removed. But on Paddy's point, where, you know, there's areas in the middle of the city centre in Dublin particularly, I think of College Green, where there's a lot of electrical points up that have really cluttered the view. Do you find this aesthetically pleasing, Brianna, when you look at it?
I mean, I think Dublin is one of the few cities that's really held on to its aesthetics and put aesthetics first. And you walk around and there's very little change around Dublin. If you look at old movies and documentaries, you're like, oh, wow, I walked past that exact same building and nothing's changed. I'm from Sydney, where everything is torn down and ripped up every 5 years, and you just have a clash of architectural styles. You've got like 70s brutalism, then a bit of like colonial sandstone, and the whole lot is a big flaming hot mess. So I think
I am so sorry. 80% of Dublin was demolished between 1950 and 1983. I mean, I could actually point out whole city blocks that don't exist anymore. We've tiny amounts of Georgian Dublin left. We've made a complete mess of this city. The architectural hodgepodge is absolutely disgusting here. I mean, I get that with places like Sydney and things like that, but Dublin is really one of the worst architectural examples in the world, I have to say. And I know you must be walking down the nice streets. That's all I can say.
Like, my grandparents were born in the Liberties, and I can walk through the Liberties and their houses are still there. The places they pointed out are still there, and they haven't been living in Ireland for 50 years. You wouldn't get that in Sydney.
Have you been to Cork Street? Cork Street barely has a single original building left on it. And you know, Newmarket, the whole area, it's a disgrace. About Thomas Street and Mead Street are the only streets left with anything original on them. I mean, everything else has been demolished completely. It's really, really. And road widening is the worst part of Dublin, where we lost entire streetscapes. But look, like I say, I mean, we can walk down nice streets and it's fine. But I just know myself, this just adds again to the eternal damage that is done to Dublin. And this kind of strange desire to fill every bit of space in Dublin, especially public space. If you go to somewhere like Seville in Spain or any kind of public space in Europe, they don't do this to their public spaces. They don't keep putting more and more things into them. Seats with ball bearings on them so no one can skateboard on them. It's terrible. It's aesthetically awful.
A chance now to discuss the aesthetics of a sculpture which has drawn mixed opinion. And it is the Puka of Ennis Simon, which was created for the town. €30,000 spent on the project. It was created by Dublin-based artist Aidan Hart, who's standing over his work. And he says it would be a massive missed opportunity for the town if it's not completed and put into Ennis Simon. But he was attacked from all places but the pulpit last weekend by Father Willie Cummins, who called the 2-metre-high statue sinister. In response, Mr. Hart has said that this is Father Ted stuff, the complaints being made against his work. Brianna, we've looked at the picture of this. Do you think it looks sinister, this kind of humanoid body and horse head?
Well, look, I wouldn't like it to have it in my lounge room and 30,000 public money. Like, I'm Australian. Like, we're not into art. Like, we are not artistic people. If you gave an Australian pound €1,000, we would just get big plasma screen TVs and show the sport. But Ireland is not the place. Ireland values culture, and so I think it's a good thing. But I do love that it's been described as Father Ted stuff, because the priest is called Father Willie Cummins. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And to be denounced from a pulpit, you know what? We don't get enough of that anymore.
Like, I'd imagine,
you know, where a priest were denouncing.
Yeah, like, I'd imagine, Paddy, it actually probably helps the artist to have got in the papers on the back of the priest speaking about this. I don't know. Look, I was interested to get Brianna's view without inserting my own on this. I actually think it's kind of quirky and cool.
Oh, no, I love it. And it's, you know, from, you know, just, I'm from, I went to NCAD, I did visual communication. So for me, aesthetically, it's very, very good in every way, like the horse's head on this human body, which is kind of extreme, but it's very like, you know, Cuchulainn having a warp spasm, you know, back in the day. It's very Irish mythology. And it's a fantastic piece of sculpture. It's actually a very good piece of art. Now, people don't like, you know, let's say a horse's head on top of a strange body. But I mean, I'm sure Ennis Diamond at midnight on a Saturday before COVID, you might see something like that. So I also laugh at this idea that this somehow, you know, sculpture is a very divisive thing, you know, but because it's public and it's out there. But you only go down to Limerick and you know, and look at some of the sculptures there, which are bizarre looking. You know what I mean? This is public art. If you look at some of the houses in County Clare, you know, I might want to protest about some of the bungalows, which I call Asher at the Be Grand Designs, but I can't do anything about that. And in this case, I think it's a marvelous piece of art, and I think it should be let go ahead and shouldn't be denounced from the pulpit. What's it going to do? I mean, unless the priest is worried it's going to start moving statues, now we might have a concern about.
Hey, look, if you get a moving statue, that's a hell of a tourist trap to bring people to County Clare and to visit this. Brianna, I guess the thing about the money as well is there's an argument over whether it's 30,000 well spent. Like, all of this money is kind of earmarked for arts and culture development anyway. So it's not like that 30 grand is being robbed from something else.
No, and 10 grand has already been paid in an installment for the piece. So it makes no sense to stop it now. I just love how very Irish this story is. Like, it's just brilliant. You've got a priest kicking off. You've got a sculptor labelling Father Ted Adam. It's just, you can't write this stuff. It's amazing. Someone should turn it into a miniseries. RTE, there you go.
Don't rule it out. Could well happen. Now, one series that's not going to be continuing is, after 17 years as a staple of daytime TV, is the Ellen DeGeneres show. She says she's ending her talk show. The host, who's now 63, revealed to The Hollywood Reporter that the show's current 18th season, which will end in 2022, so they're still filming another year of it, will be the last of the series. Here's a clip from a 2019 interview with the actress Dakota Fanning, where Ellen made a comment about not being invited to Dakota's recent birthday party. The actress refuted the claim and push back on the host.
You turned 30.
I did.
And how was the party? I wasn't invited.
Actually, no, that's not the truth, Ellen. You were invited. Last time I was on the show, last year, you gave me a bunch of shit about not inviting you, but I didn't even know you wanted to be invited.
Well, who doesn't want to be invited to a party?
Well, I didn't even know you liked me.
Of course I like you. You knew I liked you. You've been on the show many times, and don't I show like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did invite you, and you didn't come, so.
This time you invited me?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How do you know? I don't think so.
Ask everybody. Ask Jonathan, your producer. Who
okay.
said you were?
I was invited?
Right there.
Why didn't I go?
I don't know.
Was it?
You're out of town.
Oh, yeah, I had that thing.
Ouch. The audience is always going to be on the side of the presenter, Brianna, but Frances Dakota Fanning, she wasn't just going on and, you know, playing the nice girl act and just accepting everything that Ellen was going to say.
No, and Ellen's got a history with female guests. A couple of them have been thrown under the bus in terms of talking about their romantic life, and you can see visible discomfort in them going like, this isn't a joke, this is actually really uncomfortable, and I'm not buying the I'm just a sound lady act. And this is sort of the issue with Ellen, like when this all the bullying allegations on her show came out, so 36 staff members spoke to BuzzFeed in 2020, saying that the atmosphere on the show was really toxic, they'd experienced workplace bullying. It really jarred with the audience because Ellen has built this whole brand around, you know, her signature, which is be kind and being relatable and just being a fun, goofy lady. And I think once viewers saw through that, like, she dropped over 1 million viewers last year, from last year to this year. And she's saying that she's giving up the show because it's just not a challenge anymore. And I don't buy that for a second. I think the ratings are starting to tank, and network execs have got their eye out to make some cuts.
Yeah, I think, Paddy, it's no great coincidence that these allegations came out. As Brianna said, the figures start to drop. It probably feels like a good time for Ellen to step away before maybe that decision could have been made by the network themselves.
Well, absolutely. But I mean, you know, as well as that, many of us out there, because Ellen is shown at something like 11 o'clock every morning on RTE.
Yep.
And that relentless optimism, you know, it just doesn't suit the Irish mood, especially in the morning. I cannot take this kind of, you know, everybody dancing and having a good time at that time. And, you know, Ellen projected that relentless positivity, which I can't stand. You know, I'm more Beckettian in my outlook on life. You know, you suffer. And like, I just also, when I listen to that conversation there, aren't you just bored of celebrities talking to each other about, oh, you didn't go to my birthday. Oh, I'd love to go to that party. And they're living in this world where none of the rest of us are included. You know what I mean? That was okay back in the day when, let's say, stars were elusive and it was Hollywood was very much about a kind of, you know, keeping to yourselves. But now we know everything about these people and they just want us to kind of, you know, be window licking and looking at their amazing lives. And it's, I think people are just losing interest in this, especially when they see people doing Zoom interviews and they don't even make any effort to dress up or do up their kitchen.
Yeah, that pretense as well, Brianna, that you get on these types of shows too, is that everyone in Hollywood is meant to be mates. As awkward as that has probably been for quite a few celebrities in recent times, you know, where they have to maybe roll back on friendships, which they were very public about. And the Ellen show was almost like a little microcosm of that, where everyone is meant to be pally and everyone's meant to know everybody.
Yeah, like that famous selfie she took of everyone in the background at one of the award shows. I just love that this pandemic, I mean, celebrities have long put up this bullshit of we're all in it together. We're normal people. We're all the same. Yeah. And the pandemic really exposed that when people were complaining, celebrities were complaining about feeling trapped in their multi-million dollar compounds or, you know, celebrities are able to fly into Australia and not have to quarantine because they can pay the $30,000 it costs or whatever, how much ever it costs to hire doctors and police to let them quarantine in massive mansions. I mean, it's really exposed. They're not like us. They're not playing by the rules. And it's like that Gal Gadot in Imagine, that really lame video last year. It just exposed.
The worst.
Well, look.
But I do like the Patty talking about breakfast shows should be a bit more cranky. Like I'm cranky and I work on a breakfast show. So I think there's a market for me just to get on the air and go, you know what, lads, everything's a bit rubbish. Let's all have a sleep in. I'll see you back in half an hour with the headlines. I'd love that. That's my dream job. Let's make it happen.
I'm really hoping that we've inspired editorial change on Ireland AM from Monday. Brianna, many thanks for joining us, and Paddy as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.